on Sunday what our favorite song was. And that's my favorite. It helps me to calm down, to focus on God, focus on Jesus, and to just know Him. And since we all seek to know Jesus, I have like 3 or 4 different Bibles up here because I love the translations and different ones. So I'll be reading out of like 3 different ones. God lately has put on my heart that, you know, and I'm guilty of this, that I truly want to seek God, want to seek God's love, and want to understand God, but I tend to back away and to not seek Him the way that I should. I let worldly things get in my way. I let drugs, pornography, get in my way, get in the way of my marriage, get in the way of my kids. So one thing I've been reading a bunch is God's love for us and how God forgives us for our transgressions and for our sins, no matter what, as long as you desire to know His love and to know what He's about. So do we believe that God truly loves us, that we are truly forgiven for all of our sins, and that God accepts us for who we truly are? I constantly ask myself, what can I do better to serve the Lord, and how my actions away from God affects others and my family and my friends around me? For me, trusting people is very hard. I've built up walls that to keep people out of my life, to keep people away from me, that hurt my family, hurt my wife, hurt my kids, and my friends, because they can't truly know who I am. But I've had a hard time with the fact that I was adopted when I was a baby, and so I've built up a lot of walls. I've dealt with racism, friends using me for what I've got, you know, using me for what I don't have, using me for the people around me. So I tend not to trust people. And so I've built up walls around my heart, which in Proverbs, you know, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Proverbs 14:30. You know, I tend to, because I get jealous of others, jealous of what I don't have, you know, unforgiveness towards others, my heart is so closed, you know, that I don't seek God the way that I should. And when I do, I tend to push Him away. And, you know, it happens to all of us when we, you know, consistently, on a consistent basis, we go to church, you know, and we seek God, and we try to do family stuff and try to do stuff with the friends to know God, to know each other, and to pour out our love for one another. But sometimes we get distracted, and we tend to lose focus on what is important in our lives by putting 100% towards work, towards other distractions, because we don't feel that, you know, our families love us for who we are, because we don't feel that God loves us for who we are, because of the things we do outside of church, you know, the pornography, the drugs, the, you know, you name it, whatever we get into to avoid having to be at church, to avoid having to know God, to avoid having to have any interaction with anyone else. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we live our lives in a world where we are constantly questioned about who we are and how we live our lives. Do this, do that, be this, don't be that. You know, we sometimes give in to whatever will make us better, smarter, more important, more popular, and so forth. Anything that can give us an upper hand, anything that to us would seem like we can be better than everyone else, where we focus so much on ourselves instead of focusing on the people around us, focus on other things beside ourselves, focusing on Him. You know, and so if we don't change our ways, we feel judged and put down. You know, we feel like the whole world is turning on us and that we might be better off without everyone, without God in our life. You know, I was trying to write this sermon, this word, you know, and I was hit by so many distractions today that I just felt the devil was just did not want me to deliver it. You know, I was sick to my stomach. I had 20,000 bathroom breaks. I couldn't figure out what to write. He's moving all over the place. Is that better? Okay. I'm sorry. So I got so distracted and I couldn't keep focused. So, you know, around noon comes around and I've got one sentence and three scriptures that I don't know even what to do with them. And so I went to I went to go grab the kids' lunch today and went to Taco Bell. And so Taco Bell has a neat little plaque hung up that reads, "If you can imagine it, you can dream it. Dream it, and you can become it." You know, it may seem like a pretty typical saying, but it hit me today. And I was trying to think about how I could change the wording so it fits more with God. And so I came up with this. If you can believe in Him, you can put your trust in Him. Trust Him, and all things are possible through Him. So, you know, we are to love Him because He is in us. We just need to soften our hearts so that we can fully know His word. He is our groom, and we are to be His bride, to honor His word and to trust in who He is, never focusing only on ourselves, but on Him and His love for us. We must learn to desire to be with Him 24/7, and not just when it's convenient for us. Because many times we sit there and think, you know, I'm going to church, I'll give up 3 hours on a Sunday, 3 hours on a Wednesday, maybe 3 hours on a Friday. Maybe I'll listen to K-Love, listen to Wave FM, put in a CD, and, you know, that's enough worship for the day, for, you know, from a drive home, whatever, you know. But we need to be thinking of Him 24/7. We need to, you know, I'm very guilty of opening up my Bible and reading it. You know, in the last week, today, opening up my Bible was probably the most I've opened it up in the last week because, you know, I needed to seek Him out, you know. You know, in Isaiah 62:4-5, you know, and this is the New Living Translation. It says, "Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as His bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride." You know, God wants us to be with him. He seeks our love. He seeks our faithfulness. You know, his one desire is for us to seek him out and to be with him in eternal life. You know. So his love for us is so great and powerful that we need to want to return his love and to follow the path that he has for us. Not in our time, but in his time. His love is abundant and his grace overshadows anything if you repent and truly desire to know him. In 1 Timothy 1:13-16, and I, 1 Timothy 1:13-16, and I like this one in the NIV. Says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. You know, He accepts us no matter what we do. His grace is abundant, and he has so much love for us that, you know, he knows exactly what we're going to do. He knows our heart. He knows that when we sin, if we truly love him, if we truly know him, and we truly know that we are doing wrong, he will forgive our sins. I'm very hard at loving others and returning my love to Jesus Christ.
I've built such a wall that it's just so hard to return. And, you know, I don't forgive myself for many things I do. And if you can't forgive yourself, then how are you supposed to love Jesus Christ? How are you supposed to truly know Jesus Christ and know his love for you? About 3-4 years ago, Leona's mom passed away. And I never told her that I loved her. And I still hold it against myself. And I feel so bad that she never knew it. But, you know, if I don't learn to forgive myself for it, then I'm going to just, I'm not going to truly know God's love. You know, and a lot of times I, you know, we sin hoping to get away with something. Hoping that, you know, God isn't looking. That, you know, that our family is not looking. That our family doesn't, you know, that our family doesn't hate us for it. You know, we tend to, you know, sin because it's convenient, because it's easy to do. It's easy to focus on the sin and not focus on what Jesus has in store for us. You know, in Micah 7:18-20, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Where is another God like you, who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever, because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love as you promised to our ancestors, Abraham and Jacob, long ago." And then in the Amplified, I like both these versions. In the Amplified, it says, "Who is God like you, who forgives iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy and loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue and tread underfoot our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show your faithfulness and perform the same promise to Jacob in loving kindness and mercy to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old." You know, his love, you know, in the New Translation, his unfailing love. You know, I wrote down the translation or definition, that's the word I was looking for unfailing. And unfailing means never failing or stopping, always dependable and certain. And that's how God's love is for us. It is dependable, is never stopping, and it is always certain to be there, no matter what we do, as long as we seek to come to Jesus Christ and to know him. You know, and it also, you know, I also wrote the definition for abundant, and it's the same thing. You know, it's very plentiful, more than enough, rich, and well supplied. You know, his love doesn't stop just because we've turned our backs on him once, because we've turned our backs on him twice. You know, it as long as we come to him in our time of need, you know, he would seek us, and, you know, he would be there for us, because he knows us. You know, he knew us before we knew him. I mean, he knows exactly what we're going to be doing. He knows exactly who we are. You know, in Exodus 34, 6-7, in the New Living Translation, "The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, 'Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness.
I lavish unfailing love to a thousand generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. You know, if we continue to sin and not seek Jesus Christ, then all that sin falls upon our children. It falls upon my kids. You know, my dad was a workaholic, you know, and I've picked up that habit, you know. It's not bad to want to support your family, but it's bad to want to support your family so much that it draws you away from God. You know, just as a father rebukes his child when they do wrong, he still loves them. God also remains steadfast in his love for us when we stray. We just need to open ourselves to his love and compassion, knowing that he is the one true God. When we let down the walls that we've built to protect ourselves from pain and hurt, we can focus on God's glory. We need to learn to be able to let his mercy and guard for our soul. Let his voice ring through our head that we know he is watching over us. You know, when we hurt and don't look to God, we can never truly be free. Knowing he is our groom and that he is with us always, we will be able to do amazing things in his name. You know, Leona has this scripture hanging in our bathroom mirror at home. Colossians 3:12-17. That says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, it's up to us to want to seek God. It's not up to our pastors, to our friends, to tell us what to show us the way or to push us in that direction. You know, it's up to us to want to truly seek his love, his grace, and his mercy. It's also up to us to also be Christ in us. You know, it's up to us to also give our love to others, to show them the true way, to just be transparent so that others know us and others see God through us. So that's it I have.